Thank you, Kim. Good morning, everyone. So this week, we're reaching the end of the first of our rhythms and practices in our discipleship pathway, which is that of recreation and of Sabbath. We've been looking at it over the last few weeks, and today is the culmination, if you like. I was recently at a talk given by Mark Oakley, who's a theologian and poet. He was Channon. So when you start the word wrong, you never recover, do you? He was Canon Chancellor of St. Paul's Cathedral and is now Dean of St. John's College in Cambridge. He suggested that there are two sorts of sermons. There are river sermons, where you start at point one and you progress in a more or less linear fashion through point two before you end up at point three. And ideally, they all start with the same letter. He did say he was once at a service where the preacher said, and 27thly, the other sort of sermon, he says, is more like a fountain, a bubbling up of ideas and images that you just stop beside for a while and drink. I love that picture. And doesn't that sound like a Sabbath sermon? So for the next few minutes, let's just stop. Let's rest. Let's dwell on what abiding in Jesus might look like, because at its heart, that's what Sabbath is. Resting, abiding, and stopping. Just stopping. Delighting in the now. Delighting in God's work. Together, let's go for a walk into a meadow on a warm spring day. We'll take a Sabbath walk. Take off your shoes. Feel the soft grass and warm soil beneath your feet. There's no destination, there's no time frame, just follow your spirit. Stay a while to watch a butterfly on a buddleia, or bees on lavender. Maybe take a ball to throw for your dog, or a frisbee to play with children or with friends. Delight in God's creation. Be present. You know, we're so blessed to be living here in Harrogate, aren't we? Engulfed and surrounded in countryside and nature. Recent studies have shown that just 20 minutes spent in contact with nature significantly lowers our stress levels. And other studies show that time outdoors improves mental health and self-esteem. I think we forget sometimes, don't we, that we are part of creation, that we too are creatures. We were made to be in the natural world. And I dare say that God walks with us still when we delight in his creation. I love the title of the book, The 3-Mile-an-Hour God. God is a God who walks. You think of God as Jesus. He walked on the earth. And if we run, if we cycle, if we drive, or if we fly, then in some sense we're traveling faster than God. God is a God who walks. And it's said, isn't it, that time is money. But I think that's wrong, actually. I think time is so much more important than money. It is our most precious and limited resource. And yet, we sell it so cheaply, really, exchanging so much of our time for money in work. One of the best things I ever did was to drop my hours at work when my children were young. I was lucky enough to work for a company that let me go part-time and that we could still afford the basic necessities of life. It did mean we didn't have the disposable income for expensive holidays or posh meals or days out, but it gave me and my children time together, time to read books, to go for walks, to make a mess, to bake, or you might say to have Sabbath time. The really funny thing was, is that I ended up getting almost as much work done in 4 days as I had been doing in 5, because I was so rested and relaxed and just had headspace again. It's interesting to me to note that in my work sector, the 4-day week is being seriously touted as an option for improving productivity and employee well-being. On the 7th day of creation, God made time sacred and blessed. We don't need money, or a special place, or the right clothes, or the right words to meet with God. We just need time. And if I'm completely honest, one of the things that I'm missing since I started ordination training is time. I'm still trying to work out for myself how to recover that kind of Sabbath space in my week I had when my children were very young. So Sabbath as special time, as 24 hours set apart, is really, really important. But I also think Sabbath can be an attitude that's riven through the whole of our lives, that we can capture a sense of abiding in Jesus every day. Perhaps we could build mini Sabbaths into our lives. So every time we open a door or put on the kettle, if our watch beeps or the school bell rings or whatever it might be, we can pause and just take literally 3 intentional and conscious breaths in and out. Just being still. It's a chance to remember who we are and whose we are. At mealtimes, we could pause before eating to say thank you to God and to whoever prepared the meal. Maybe even light a candle if that's not something you usually do. And time with our friends can be Sabbath time, just hanging out together, playing pool or cards or chess, or just kind of mooching around, going swimming, reading. All of it celebrating how God has made us, these precious gifts of time and relationship. And that special intimate relationship that's reserved for marriage can and should be Sabbath time. It's not called holy matrimony for nothing. But if you want to be really out there, how about a technology Sabbath? Do without a piece of technology you use regularly for a time. The kettle, or the washing machine, or a car, or the TV, or computer. Many of our young people have been doing that this weekend with the social media blackout for Open Doors. In our case, instead of watching Saturday night telly last night, we spent the evening playing Bananagrams on the sitting room floor. That was a great evening. What effect does turning something off in the house have on you and of the other people if you live with others? Do you use things more than you need to and take them for granted? Does not having something for a while make you thankful for the gift of the technology? Does a labor-saving device really save labor? And if so, what do you do with that saved time? Might there be a benefit sometimes to slowing down? Say to do the washing up by hand instead of using a dishwasher, if you have one. Is the device a means of blessing, or do you use it just because it's there? But above all this, stop. Just stop. Listen to our hearts, our breathing, the space around us. Try and capture the whisper of God in our souls. You know, all this week, God's been speaking to me about stopping. And almost everything I've got wrong this week has been because I haven't stopped when he's been prompting me to. Emails I've sent in haste at work, reacting to one of my workmates before I'd even heard what he was trying to tell me properly. Deciding it was a good idea to reconfigure the way my email works at 9 o'clock on the school night instead of waiting an extra week and doing it in half term when I was around. Playing some daft game on the internet until my eyes go boggly, you know. But then racing through the psalms and prayers during prayer times and racing through the readings. Unkind words that are spoken out of impatience at home. Or just lying in bed awake, thinking about work. And God says, stop. Just stop. Take your shoes off. Get into nature. Cook and eat a slow meal. Turn off your email and your social media. Read a book. Have a nap. Listen to some music, light a candle, draw, paint something. Remember again whose you are. Remind yourself that the world doesn't depend on you. So I'm going to try and learn from my mistakes and stop. But I'll leave you with a poem called "My Song, My Soul Longs for the Sabbath" by Christopher Giffen. My soul longs for the Sabbath. I want to rest from being who everyone else knows me to be. I want to rest from being put together and up to speed. I want to fall apart and fall behind. I want to stop making the same mistakes, the one I make when I never stop. I want to stop hurting people for a time and to mourn and to cry. I want to be suspended between the strong, tall towers of obligation, in a hammock dreaming. I want to float where I have stumbled, dance where I am chained, lose where I have found. I want to say no where my dutiful yes has chimed forth. I want to have 6 devoted days worthy of a holy seventh. I want to lay down the burden of my ego in the soft, warm cradle of tenderness. I want to know the truth and to speak the truth and to let it destroy me. I want to stop measuring my worthiness and lovability and to be weak and powerful and naked. I want to release my strength and kneel down, still and silent as it crumbles into deep, dark soil. I want to dangle on the branches of my life's deepest purpose and to ripen into richest color and flavor. I want to need someone again. I want to need someone again. I want to give away what I have kept, fall down from where I have climbed, receive the deepest blessing of inheritance, which is mine to share with one another in the wide, restful heart of the Sabbath. And I want to stop wanting. Amen.